Wars. You are listening to Satellite Sisters. We're happy to be with you today. It's Tuesday, June 21st, and unusual for a Tuesday show, there are a trio of Satellite Sisters on Tuesday. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. My sister Julie Dolan is in Dallas, Texas. Julie, how are you, my Tuesday friend?
Leanne, I just love Tuesdays. I'm happy to be here, and we have a special guest star. I'm going to call her a guest star, Leanne, that's joining us today, right?
Yeah, we're not used to that on Tuesdays. Liz Dolan is here from Santa Monica. Liz, how are you?
I'm very happy to be invited for a Tuesday. You know, this is, you know, you guys, Tuesday is your thing. You do such a fine job on Tuesdays. I've never wanted to push myself into it, but
because you have to go to work.
I have a job. Yeah, I have a job. I haven't really been available, but, you know, I just wanted to join in today. Got a few things to say to the Satellite Sisterhood.
Yeah, let's be clear. All are welcome on Tuesday. It's just Julie and I that regularly show up. It's not a closed,
an exclusive club.
No,
I understand. I have been otherwise occupied on Tuesdays, but not today.
All right. Liz, a couple weeks ago, you tossed out on Satellite Sisters that you were going to be making a major announcement, which caused just a minor freak out amongst the Satellite Sisterhood, wondering, worrying about your overall general health.
Now, I know.
You are going to clarify what the major announcement is a little bit later in the show, correct?
Yes, I am, Leanne. Yes.
That has nothing to do with your health. It has nothing to – can we just say that?
It has nothing to do with my health. Yes, okay. I can say that. Patrice, Beth, I'm fine. Thank you for your concern. I appreciate it. They immediately started jumping to conclusions, but no, don't worry. I'll be fine, and everything's going to be okay, people.
Excellent. All right. So we're going to hear all about that. Julie has some breaking Olympic news. You know, we're always interested in that. We have our Outlander recap. And Julie, speaking of recaps, I had a moment of Madam Secretary success, fashion success. And I wanted to share that with you this weekend.
Oh, I can't wait, Leanne. Is it a blouse of some kind?
No, you're going to have to stick around. But I had a moment and I enjoyed it. But first, you know, we'd like to extend just a deep sympathy to the LGBT community. So many really just moving services and remembrances all over the world for the Orlando shooting. I was really touched by that, just to see how the whole world came together on that issue. A lot of information still coming out on Orlando, a lot of, you know, good, bad, complicated picture of the shooter. But in general, I just feel like there is a great sense of outpouring to the LGBT community, and we would like to extend that here at Satellite Sisters.
And, I agree.
Yeah.
It's been really beautiful to see, despite how heartbreaking it is.
Right. Exactly. Also, our congratulations extended to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Hey, that's not something I ever thought I'd hear you say, Leanne. I mean, not that you have a point of view one way or another about the Cleveland Cavaliers, but, you know.
Well, here's the thing, Liz. You know, it was Father's Day when they played Game 7. And it was, in fact, like the highest rated basketball game since 1998. When Michael Jordan was playing. So a lot of people watched that Game 7 on Father's Day, including our family. Now, my husband grew up in Los Angeles as a UCLA fan under, you know, the umbrella of John Wooden is a god. So, and everything John Wooden said about basketball, about life, holds true to him today. Yeah. So he finds it virtually impossible to watch an NBA game today because of the basic fundamental infractions going on play after play after play. So imagine, it's a hot day. We've already celebrated Father's Day. We've been to a car show. We went out to breakfast. There have been gifts. I grilled a steak for him. And I'm thinking, well, this will be a nice family game 7. Come on, kids. Let's gather around the television like the rest of America and watch what some people are calling the finest basketball game ever played. No, my husband, what we should have gotten him was a whole telestrator because he watches the game and he's such anger over the traveling and the carryover and the high dribbles. And every time there was a moving screen, which was pretty much every time Cleveland came down the court, he would stop, the pause feature has just been really tragic in our house.
He's abusing the pause.
He pauses. He gets up. He starts moving his hands around the screen. Like, look at this. You are supposed to set your feet. Do you see him set your feet? Let's look again. Did he set his feet? He's like, okay, you are just.
I've watched sporting events at your house, Lily, and it's rough going there. And this sounds like it went to sort of the championship level in terms of your husband's performance as a TV sports watcher.
It was a game seven performance, Julie. Yeah, okay. He left it all out on the couch. I mean, you know. So,
well, I don't think of basketball as being his thing, but that's the thing for him. He's from Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, he loved basketball as a kid, and he did play it as a kid. But he went to a high school with an incredibly good basketball team, so he did not make his high school basketball team. So, not that stuck with him at all, Liz.
So he's bitter. No, okay, not bitter about that. Okay.
But you have to remember, like, from the ages of 7 to 18, UCLA won something crazy. Like, what is it? 11 out of 12 NCAA titles, mm-hmm. or 12 yeah. out of 14? Like, they never lost. And they had players like Lou Alcindor on the court. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was an incredible run. And his dad went to UCLA. So, yeah, he loves college basketball. He has always loved. And he was, I would say, a mildly enthusiastic Lakers fan. But he has always loved college basketball. So, and he has always believed in the fundamentals, Liz. He believes in the fundamentals. You know, and he starts invoking the name Allen Iverson ruined basketball. I was like, oh,
wow, okay. That's digging just, deep.
Yeah,
that's...
he was, well, it's a championship performance. I can see it, Leon.
So, anyway.
Did he make it to the end of the game?
Was he did. To watch? Okay. Resentfully.
Did you make it to the end of
resentfully.
The game?
He made it resentfully. And then what he does, like, they score the last basket and he turns the channel. I'm like, you know, could we just see LeBron's reaction? I mean, because it's going to be epic. And this is what he's been fighting for. And so then he went to do the laundry. And that was...
Well, it sounds like he had a fine Father's Day experience, Leon. Way to go.
Did he want either of the teams to win, or was he just disgusted about both performances?
Oh, disgusted by both performances, because, again, it's all one-on-one isolation, Liz. There's no penetration with the three-point play in Golden State. Come on, Liz. Come on. No one passes anymore. John Wooden would be rolling over in his grave. That's all I heard. All game. Okay.
Well, sorry I missed that family fun with you, Liam, because that does sound fun. But I was happy. I mean, LeBron James is a great player and he did a great thing. You know, which, and so I think you just got to like that. That's what I was excited about.
He came back and he did what he had to do, Julie.
Yeah,
did what he
was a great player, did a great thing. Yeah. Good. Yay. All right.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at PROS.com/ sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right, we're going to take a short break here on Satellite Sisters. We have a new sponsor, and we'd like to tell you about that. And then when we return, Liz is going to tell us what exactly is going on with her. We're the Satellite Sisters. Stay with us. We're back. We're the Satellite Sisters, Leanne, Liz, and Julie here today on Tuesday, June 21st. And Liz, I'm just going to hand this off to you. You teased us in the radio business, what is known as a tease, that you were going to announce something big a couple weeks ago. There was, you know, wild panic. But now you're here to tell us what exactly is happening with you.
Yeah,
what's happening,
yeah.
Liz?
First, I would like to thank the people that did panic because it shows me that you care. And so Patrice on my Facebook page wrote, "I know this may be nuts. I am my mother's daughter. I'm very concerned that you are making an announcement because something is wrong and that you're putting a positive spin on whatever it is by asking what we would do if we had the summer off." So then she went on into the kinds of fantasies she has about the bad things happening to her children. Andrea wrote, many people weighed in on that. Andrea wrote, "I hope you are going to announce that you won Lotto and are going to share it with us." So those are the two polls of what people were fantasizing about, Leanne. But here is my actual announcement. It's a two-parter. Part number one, I am taking the summer off. And we should talk about what I should do with that summer because I'm very interested to hear everyone's suggestions. Part number two is at the end of the summer, I am taking the rest of my life off. So the summer off is really just the opening gambit for the rest of my career. Next week is actually my last week at my job. I just decided that I needed to kind of get a life, pull back a little, focus on me. So that's kind of where I am. Got the summer to think about, to just like pull myself together, and then making some decisions in September about the rest of the plan. So I don't know. So this summer, you guys, like if you were going to give me recommendations, I have my list of priorities, but if you were going to give me recommendations, any thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Let me buzz in right here. This sister Julie, your oldest sister, you have just got to stay off airplanes, Liz. That's your number one. I think that should be your number one goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. You should stay away from airports, stay out of hotels, and away from flying. Okay.
Okay.
I just think, I mean, you have had a crazy 5-year period where you have just been, you know, circling the globe, literally circling the globe weekly. And I just think that for just your perspective, your health, and everything else, you will enjoy your summer just not on an airplane. And that's mm-hmm. a fine goal in and of itself, Liz.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Julie. Right. That works well with what I have on my list, too. Leon?
My list, I think, is more ambitious. I think at this point, actually, either campaign could use a campaign manager.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Yes. When Corey Lewandowski got fired yesterday, I'm thinking, now is my moment. This is it. Where could there be a greater need? You're right, Leanne.
So, all right. I also thought, you know, we've always thought you'd be great on the Supreme Court, Liz. So I think you could go back to law school this summer. And I feel like you should get some class credit for the work that you've done for Satellite Sisters and Mudbath over the years, the sort of legal expertise you've lent us. I think you're halfway to a law degree is what I would say.
You don't even need a law degree to be on the Supreme Court. Okay. You could just study for the bar this summer. That's a good idea.
Yeah. You know,
That's right. That's an open gig. You're right. There's an open slot.
Yeah. And there could be a lot more in the next 8 years, Liz. So I think you could be well positioned for that. I just feel like you'd be a good mayor of a lot of towns. I mean, you
real estate mayor.
Didn't you play the mayor in The Music Man when you were at Summer Camp?
I did. I was Mayor Shin at Camp Quinnebec. And Mayor Shin.
Fine job, Liz.
I think it's the only non-singing role in The Music Man, which is why I got it.
So you have some mayoral experience, and I feel like Ben...
Can I just note that Sheila was Marion the Librarian, which is the major singing role in The Music Man. Anyway, you're right. I have some experience in municipal government.
Yeah, so Bend or Santa Monica. I don't know if Bend has a mayor, but, you know, sometimes you just appoint mayors or self-appointed mayor. Also, you could take your talents to Cleveland, like LeBron, and maybe Cleveland or Miami would need you. I don't know. It's just a few things. I feel like you could really, you know, aim high with your summer. So,
wow, that is way more. You're right. It's way more ambitious than I was going to be.
What are some of your plans, Liz?
Well, you know, number one is unplug, Julie. Mm-hmm. Just like put down the phone and step away. I heard on the news yesterday that adults check their phones 50 times a day.
Really?
Yeah. And you know what? I'm guilty of that. Mm-hmm. Like at work, it's like you have this electronic tether to everything you're supposed to be managing all over the world. And so there's that. And then I also think I might have a slight Facebook addiction.
Oh,
yeah. And that's just like a time suck and a complete waste of time. As much as I love it, but I'm thinking like I need some kind of plan for managing my connectivity. Let's just put it that way. And so number one is less connectivity. I'm going to conduct experiments. Like, have you guys lately like left the house without your phone and you get like 10 minutes away and you realize you don't have your phone and you're like, and you're not sure you can go on? Has that happened to you at all?
I'm not there yet. I often leave my house without the phone.
No, I've had that sensation, Liz.
Yeah.
Like I need to have my phone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a grandmother. I have responsibilities, you know.
This is my point. I want no responsibilities. I'm getting to that later. That's in the rest of my life plan. Okay, so number one is unplug. Number two is aligned with what you just said, Julie. I need to wake up in my own bed.
Yes.
Like days in a row, just multiple days in a row.
Right, Liz.
Or,
yeah.
You know. For people who, you know, maybe newer to the show, my job, I've been the chief marketing officer of a big global television network. So I've been managing the marketing of television channels in 171 countries. And while I did not get to all 171 countries. I feel like I did. I feel like I got too close to that magic number. Mm-hmm. So I think waking up in my own bed, and there's a caveat here because for the purposes of the summer, my own bed, maybe Bend, Oregon. My bed in Bend, Oregon, not
that's
my...
That's allowed. I think that's allowed. Okay. So you can, but you could drive to Bend, Liz. You don't have to fly there.
Yeah. Yes, which is the plan. And then third, this is really simple, and a lot of people posted this in our Facebook group, just I need to get into a health and fitness groove. I think the fact that I've used my job and all the travel in my job as sort of an excuse or a reason for like just not get into any kind of a daily pattern. You know, 2 years ago when I launched Operation Sea Turtle, do you remember that?
Yes,
I do.
That was very effective for about 3 months. And then I just lost the thread. So Operation Sea Turtle 2 starts July 1.
So it's a lot. It's more aquatics. Do you see, Liz?
Yes.
Are you going to be doing land maneuvers as well?
Yeah, it actually will, because I'll be in, you know, landlocked Oregon, in central Oregon. It's not going to be entirely an aquatic program, but, you know, just that feeling of doing something every day that is physically good for you.
Yeah.
So
working up a sweat, Liz, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah. So, but before I get into then my goals for the rest of my life, did you read all the great suggestions of what other people would do for the summer that were posted?
Well, get on planes is mainly what they would do. Travel.
That's it. Number one answer, Leanne, was road trips and travel and see the world. So good for you, not for me. That's what I would say to all the people that want to do that.
But Liz, you know what? I also, it was like spontaneous. We posted that, you posted that podcast, and within like hours, people had like detailed plans of what they would do if they had the summer off. So people are thinking about this, Liz.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
They're dreaming about this. They would just love the opportunity to check out.
Yes. So here were some of the answers that really made me smile. Well, Susan posted that she wanted to update her family genealogy project, scanning in family photos, all of that kind of stuff, which Susan, I think you're not alone on that. I actually, at work, someone was telling me the other day that the number two use for the internet, number one being pornography, sadly, number two is genealogy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. We could use a genealogist in our family.
Well, Julie, I know you've been doing some secret projects on this.
I know, but we need some more. I'm getting nowhere, so I got to sign up. I got to sign up for that.
Okay. Susan also noted that she would like to learn how to use emojis. And, you know, Leah, maybe that's a class you can conduct, because I think you're pretty good with the, you're pretty on top of the emojis.
I love emojis. I do. I think you can really say a lot in five symbols. Thank you, Liz. I'm glad you've noticed. Really work. I work hard. I work hard.
No, I can tell.
Yeah.
Kathleen posted something that is much more like what I would do, except for the road trip part. She said, I belong to the Albert Jewish Community Center. I think I would do 60 classes in 60 days and just reset my energy and diet. So yeah, Kathleen, I'm on board with that. But then day 61, she wants a road trip to state fairs all over the country, including a lot of root beer floats.
And hello, Frito pie. That's what I think. And fried butter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And she wants to, there's some waterfalls on her list. So good for you, Kathleen. Brenda actually does have the summer off. There are obviously, we have a number of people that have the kinds of jobs, teachers or other jobs, where they get the summer off. So she said last summer she started a baking project. So she's baking every recipe from the Bouchon Bakery cookbook.
Wow.
And last summer she got about halfway through. So this summer she wants to continue that. Brenda, as we've established on this show before, we are not a baking family.
Yeah.
But I appreciate how hard that is to do. But I think I need to make sure that I do not find myself this summer in a house full of baked goods. I think that would be
that would be disastrous.
Exactly, Julie.
60 coffee cakes in 60 days.
Oh, wow.
Catherine wrote that she wants to learn to surf or at least spend a lot of time stand-up paddling. And she asked the question, do sharks like stand-up paddlers? And I did not know the answer, but Kathleen answered that, yes, they taste like chicken. So, ha ha ha. Just in case you wonder how much fun is being had in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, you can see now. Plenty. Annalise wrote, I am lucky to get this chance every year. Your pre-announcement made me think about what my goals are for this summer. Runs with my friends, yoga, the pool with my kids, and a chance to catch up on reading. So that sounds nice, right? That sounds good.
There were a lot of readers, Liz. A lot of people had, they really wanted to tackle some ambitious book lists for the summer, which I think is great.
Well, I was looking at runs with my friends and thinking, well, I used to do that, but now just walking with my friends would be good. And yoga, I really don't like that, but just laying on the floor and stretching would be good. And then the pool with my kids. Well, I don't have kids, but the river with my dog would be good. But yes, a chance to catch up on reading. Totally into that. And by the way, like bookie books, not necessarily just audiobooks, because the audiobook is really just a gateway drug to more time with your phone.
Wow, Liz. Yeah.
Liz, you're going to throw away those chargers too, Liz, and extension cords. Just do it or lock them up.
And Carolyn wrote, I'd buy a van, grab my spouse and my 14-year-old and hit the road. California to Maine. Bike, walk, kayak, and stop at the Umpaya Zen Center. So I don't know what that is, Carolyn. I meant to look that up, but that really sounds great. So these are all excellent ideas, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
And then there was a group of people that clearly know me, and there was a big bend contingent in the answers. My friend Chris Van Dyke wrote, hang out with us in Bend. Deb put, Bend is a solid plan.
You could be the mayor. I think in a couple of weeks, you could be the mayor there, Liz.
I mean, Julie
Hamdan, who runs the restaurant Jules in Bend. Have you guys been to Jules? Fantastic Middle Eastern food in Bend. She wrote, I will feed you. Okay, I'm in. Though they have this like unbelievable like toffee cake thing that I'm going to need
stay away from that.
Stay away from. And then Beth posted, I know. Have your cousins from Eugene up for a really long time. And Beth is, of course, our cousin from Eugene.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, that will be good. So, okay, so that's this summer. I'm going to try to figure it out. Then for the rest of my life, you know.
Okay, because you're new. The summer starts like next week for you, Liz. When are you starting to launch your plan?
July 1, which is next Friday, Julie.
I think you need a better name too, Liz. I mean, between this week work, you're the brand manager, you know, the marketing expert. I think you really got to give your summer some distinctive name.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Operation Sea Turtle 2.
That's not big enough.
I agree with Julie. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is a subset of the summer plan that is Operation Curb Appeal, and which I have already begun. My little bungalow in Bend, you guys have been there. You know that the house was restored and is very cute, but I've made absolutely no effort on the front yard. Mm-hmm. And because it's high desert and dry and shady, things don't really grow there by themselves. And so what's there was actually installed, Leon, by you and your husband.
Yes.
It's kind of because your husband cannot sit down even on vacation.
He cannot.
So when he's not fighting about basketball, he's actually landscaping and reorganizing your house.
Yes. Yes. That is what. Yep. That's been our summer vacation many years. Yeah. A lot of trips to the mulch store.
Yes. So the front yard currently is a mix of wood chips and gravel.
Yeah.
And lava rock that your husband artfully arranged. Oh, and one piece of what I can only call like high desert driftwood. Yes. I don't know what.
Yes. Now, again, reminder, Liz's yard has no water. in it. There's no sprinkler system. So anything planted just dies because there's so that's, you do have to work with material that will not die. And that's rocks, gravel, wood chips, and a big piece of wood that you found.
Yeah.
At the dump. I think you found that.
So, Operation Curb Appeal is in full swing, and that will actually start next Monday. Work starts on the front yard. So I will be overseeing that when I'm there in July. So that'll be good. But you're right, Julie. Okay. I will brand my summer plan somehow. And for next week's show, I'll do that. And then for the rest of my life.
I can't believe next Friday is July 1st. What the heck? I'm not, I had to bring up the calendar when you said that. Yeah, there it is. July 1st.
It is. How about that, Lynn?
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, well, you're going to have to brand the rest of your life. You should, you know, I don't know.
I know.
This is the third, whatever it is, Liz. You know, this is, you need some approach, some theme.
Okay.
You got some ideas?
I have a couple of goals.
Okay.
One is to speak for myself instead of for other people. You know, I've actually, other than Satellite Sisters, spent most of my work life figuring out how other people, in this case companies, need to express who they are and what they stand for. I would like to devote that same energy to myself.
Oh,
all right, Liz.
All right, yeah. Oh,
you know,
like it.
Maybe it's for my mayoral campaign. Or I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
So that number one, speak for myself instead of for others. And number two, do things that are more creatively challenging for me. You know, the I do a lot of that at work, you know, with a whole team of people. But, you know, it's the team that does all the work. So that's what I'm working on. But I also want to, you know, I'm kind of channeling the spirit of Lloyd Dobler once again. Is the famous Lloyd Dobler / John Cusack speech from Say Anything is always in my head, where he says, I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything. I don't want to sell anything that's bought or processed. I don't want to process anything that's sold or bought, and I don't want to buy anything that's sold or processed. So that's the Lloyd Dobler version. Here's where I am so far in my version of that speech. I don't want a boss. I don't want an employee, any employees, and I don't want any clients. I don't want to talk to my boss about my employees or clients. I don't want to talk to my employees about a boss or any clients. And I don't want to talk to any clients about my employees or a boss. I don't want to VC anyone, CC anyone, BCC anyone.
I think you've officially have burnout, Liz. Okay, keep going, though, because I think your list is continues.
I don't want to participate in any conference calls, any budget presentations, or any quarterly reviews. And I don't want to do anything that anyone could call a deliverable, right? So the Lloyd Dobler solution was kickboxing.
Right, yeah.
I'm not sure that's really my future, kickboxing, but there's got to be something out there for me. And I just need to recruit the support of the Satellite Sisterhood, including you two, to just don't let me get talked into anything. Because that's what
you're worried about?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm most worried about just getting sucked into things that are not really, you know, speaking for myself instead of for others, or creatively challenging for me, you know?
Okay, so, Liz. All right.
So, Lee, that means we're Liz's agents. Well, I think we're going to make some money on this deal. Okay. That's
well, if I don't have a boss, employees, or any clients.
Right.
Well,
but you'd be our client. You'd be our client.
Right. We're going to monetize you, Liz. Okay. That's, I didn't really have a summer plan. Now I do. Okay.
Monetize is another word I would actually put next to deliverable. You can say it if you want, Julie. That word is never going to pass my lips again, if you're okay with that. So, you know, I've got the summer that is the connectivity challenge, and then the rest of my life that is the creativity challenge. And we'll just see how that goes.
Yeah, that decompression from connectivity is going to be tough for you. Yeah, you can do it, though. You can do it.
And then I think once you get away from the radiation of, like, flying around the world in those little tubes, The sky is going to, your eyes are going to open up. I mean, you are going to, there's going to be some clear thinking, Liz, and it's, your path will be clear. That's, I'm very optimistic about it.
So you think radiation is really the cause of my problem?
Yes, I do.
Kind of radiation poisoning?
Yes, I do, Liz. I think it's an underreported situation with like global leaders like yourself. Yeah.
You see that in your husband? He also has.
Yes, he's much better. Yeah. He used to travel like nonstop. Now he's doing less travel and I think he's clearer. Okay. That's what I think. So.
Okay. Well, I have one more business trip left in me. Next week, I'm going to be at National Geographic in Washington, D.C. to say goodbye to everyone there. And then, so my last day is Thursday. Friday is transition day, where I'll just be packing the car. And then Saturday, Ferris and I are getting in the car and driving to Bend.
Oh, wow.
So that's the plan. And spend all of July in Bend, Oregon. So,
you know, it's funny. I didn't even know that. Oh, there you go. I had no idea. You know, that's what was happening. We should talk more. We should talk more, Liz. You've been very busy.
She is going to miss your 4th yes. of July watermelon surprise thing that you do every year, Lynn. There you have it.
Okay. She's going to miss
you guys, hang on one second. I have a guest here. My dog walker, Mark, just showed up to collect Ferris for a walk. Hang on. So that's my story. Anyone who has any, you know, thoughts or advice, please, you can post that on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group.
Okay.
Well, Liz, very exciting. I mean, because you're bringing a lot of energy to doing nothing. And I think that is going to really pay off for you.
That's exactly what it is, Julie. That's yes. exactly what it
that's,
is.
That's good. That's
so
good.
Thank you. Just see if you can just keep me honest. Keep me honest.
All right.
Oh, and part of that, we wanted to talk about our summer hours, right, Leanne?
Right. We do have some. You are going to be spending a lot of energy doing nothing, and yeah. I am going to be spending a lot of energy doing something, writing several projects. So this is actually going to be my last show for a couple of months. I am taking the summer off from the podcast, but it is to write sort of full time. So I'm looking forward to that, actually. I'm kind of cranking along. I'm in a groove now. Writing is so much about a groove. I have a couple of opportunities that I want to take advantage of this summer. So I'm going to just take a couple months off the podcast. That's mm-hmm. my plan. But Liz, you will be stepping into the Tuesday show.
That's right. That's right. I'm, you know, so that, because to me, that fits both of my goals that I just laid
yes,
out.
Yes, it
know,
does.
Speaking for myself, not others, and doing something that is creatively challenging. So Julie, you know, I will be joining you on Tuesdays this summer. Really yes. looking forward to that. Really,
yes,
really,
we're going to do some tutorials and on light topics, Liz. Okay,
I know that's good
this
luck,
is
Julie.
Gonna, you know, we're going to have to take it slow, baby steps. But I know you can do it. I know you can do trivial, superficial topics, Liz.
Okay,
I know you have it in you.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you. So yeah, so the Tuesday show. I'm very excited.
Now, one of the things you refuse to do, ironically, because you are an executive in the TV business, is TV recaps. You will not be stepping in and doing that. So Julie and I will figure out how to finish out the season finale of Outlander. But Liz, you're not picking up that mantle unless
no.
people are fascinated by C-SPAN. Is that correct?
Yeah, and they want to. That's correct. It just sounds like too much work, Lee. And
it is a lot of work. They're a lot
of
work.
I hear how hard you both work on those TV recaps. And you're the one that deconstructs the plots and the storylines because you write TV shows. So I only market TV shows, which yeah. is a totally different thing. So this summer, that would just be too much work for me to watch TV and recap it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe in the fall, who knows what we'll do in the fall. But mm-hmm. for the summer, you know, I have not been willing to take on that mantle.
But I wish you guys luck. You'll have fun. Liz, just look for any stories that involve kale or the rise of a new green vegetable that usually works.
Uh-huh.
Any stories about weight loss, weight gain, those are usually good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's you know, that's how you
pets,
start life.
Pets, pies, and bras, Liz. Those three areas are solid gold. Okay.
Yep. We knew that from back in the day, and it has remained to be true.
Yep, get so some good. Listicles. Look up some listicles, Liz. Five easy anything. Well,
okay.
Those are good.
Just read color-coded newspapers. Do not read anything. that's only in black and white. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Except the wedding announcements. There's a lot of good stuff in there, basically. So
it's going to be fun. Yes, and you'll be reporting on all your adventures once you brand it. So that's a little bit.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'll be doing. I will be, everyone can keep me honest because I'll be reporting in on how I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in addition to Liz's big announcement, the other big announcement today is the International Olympic Committee upheld the ban Russian track and field athletes from this summer's Summer Olympics. Did you see that? That came out this morning.
I did.
From Lausanne, Switzerland. The, you know, IOC met and they, you know, the ban had been put in place by the International Association of Athletic Federation. And they had banned the Russians because they said it's the drug doping is systematic and it's deeply rooted in the culture of their athletic programs. So the Russians are out. How about that? What do you think?
It's pretty shocking, actually. But I would agree. They're deeply rooted. Just ask Maria Sharapova, who won't be playing tennis for 2 years. Like, I just think they don't even, they've been taking these drugs for so long. It's just a part of the psychology of competing as a Russian athlete. And I understand there are ways that certain athletes can appeal and show up like independently, but that's a big story.
Yes, they're considering allowing a small group of Russians, that these are Russians that are allegedly clean of these drugs, that they're going to have to live like on a separate island, it sounds like, and undergo rigorous drug testing. And then they're not going to be able to compete under the Russian flag. They're going to be under some neutral flag. You know, so it's a mess. It's really a mess.
More medals for us. So, yeah.
Well, you know, the reaction in Russia, because I, as you know, longtime listeners know that I lived in Moscow for 5 years and I've been monitoring the Russian response to this, which is, of course, there are like four basic arguments that the Russians are making to the International Olympic Committee. First of all, Vladimir Putin is saying, It's just a few bad apples theory, you know, that this is really, this is not everyone. There are a couple of athletes, and I'm sure Vladimir Putin would be able to, you know, point out the ones that he's willing to throw under the bus and let everyone else participate. So that's one appeal that they're working on. Then there is the everyone else is doing this. And that that is the comment from Yelena Isinbayeva. Now, she's the pole vaulter. You know her, the two-time gold medal winning pole vaulter. She's very dramatic. Yep. She always jumps one-tenth of 1 centimeter. And, you know, it takes her like 4 hours. I mean, she's over the top. She drives me crazy. But that's her point. Is that
you're going to be sorry not to see her, huh?
Yeah.
That ought to speed the competition up. It will.
Because I was like, just jump. She clears each jump by like 3 feet. But yet she only moves the bar up by, you know, the pole up by like one centimeter. I mean, she's ridiculous.
It's the oldest trick in the book.
It is. Yeah.
Sergei Bubka used to do that too.
And all that. Okay, so that's what she's saying. Everyone else is doing that. And she's kind of right there, because also the Kenyans are currently what the International Olympic Committee is calling non-compliant. So they have a lot of athletes as well that are not passing these drug tests. Okay?
More medals for us. Yep.
Right, okay. Then you have...
Well, Leanne, the way you say that, you're assuming that our team is totally clean.
That's true, and I know that's not true.
Not true either.
We have not come up in these discussions. We have not come up as sort of banned wholesale. So.
Right. Well, I guess, but then you have weightlifting, which I guess everyone in weightlifting is taking drugs. And so that they might have to ban that sport completely. And then you have the Chinese swimmers. So you have to understand that, you know, the pole vaulter has a point there that, you know, everyone else is doing it. Now, I do enjoy the point of view of, and I don't know if you remember this guy, Zhirinovsky. We met him when the Satellite Sisters came to Moscow. He's a politician. He's an ultra nationalist. And his point of view.
And we met him.
And we met him. We did.
Thank goodness there are no photos of that trip. Yeah.
Liz, put that on your mayoral resume.
Yes.
Or that might appeal to the Trump campaign. You know, he loves the Russians. They're great. Okay.
Especially the ultra-nationalist.
Ultra-nationalist. Yes, whether we shook hands with him at that big event we did.
You know what? I remember that now. And I remember, Liz, you saying at the time, no photos, no photos. You did.
I was just trying to protect my political future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, his idea is they're going to have their own Olympics. They don't need the stinking Rio Olympics. They're going to have their own Olympics. Okay.
Well, they have all the facilities.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, they
think it was called 1980. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the Russian Duma, the Russian parliament, they said that this kind of collective punishment is exactly what the Spanish Inquisition was about, and that they are condemning this whole, you know, this whole process. So,
The
Spanish Inquisition argument. These are the four appeals that the Russian government is going to be making back to the International, Olympic Committee. Because this isn't the end of it. I mean, this is going to be just. I mean, if the Russians are going down, you know, they're going to try to take down. They'll take down other athletes as well. I mean, that, you know, the KGB is going to be very busy, you know, working on dossiers of all of the Olympic athletes, and this might.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't even thought about that.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a tremendous backlash because this is humiliating for the Russians to be banned from the Olympics for cheating. I mean, they're cheating, but you know, they shouldn't be. It's humiliating. So they're going to retaliate. It's not like they're going to take this line down, you know?
Fortunately, time is running out. And so that's the good news for the other athletes is these appeals all take so long that, you know, time is running out for Russia to really do any damage to other federations. I would think, although who knows how much data they've been collecting just for fun in the past.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
It's the land of spies. I mean, you know, that's their number one business there is spying. So I'm sure they have information on all the top elite international athletes.
Yeah, they have Oppo research on the U.S. track and field team.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would feel better about that if I thought that the IOC was clean as an organization or the IAAF just like FIFA, you know, sadly, a lot of these athletic federations and the big global sports organizations are fairly corrupt themselves. So you have a pot calling the kettle black scenario here. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a start. It would be great if we could go back to the day where you could be satisfied that the athletes were not cheating. It's just a very fundamental thing that should be important.
All right. Well, now you've sucked all the fun out of the Olympics. Thanks, Jewel.
That's it.
Thanks.
It's all over.
I'm glad I'm getting off this sinking ship. This Tuesday show, I can see, is taking a turn for the serious here.
Sorry. Okay. You can edit that out, Liam.
No.
Okay. You can do whatever you want with that. Yes, people don't need to.
You want to speak for yourself now. Go for it.
Apparently. Liz is going to go. Just as you were saying that, it's like, that's it. Liz is going to get elected president of the International Olympic Committee. I can see it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Unless the photos with that Russian nationalist.
With Zhirinovsky show up. Yeah. then you're in trouble.
Okay. All right. Well, getting back to the stupid. First of all, I have a lot happening this week. But, Julie, I had a triumph. Madam Secretary triumph.
I had to go
to a fancy white tie event this weekend. It was a debutante ball. A friend of mine's daughter was making her debut. And so Barrick and I had to get our act together. It's white tie, you know, which men really do not like. And you know why? Because it's rented clothing. You know, it's just, I don't care if it's fancy, it's still rented. So, so he was in the white tie and I had to pull together a fancy dress. But Julie, remember the Madam Secretary headband from that state dinner?
You did it, Leanne?
I successfully executed a high-class headband.
Oh,
and I got a lot of props. My friend Sally, who was the mother of the Deb, and she has a very strong fashion eye, and I got full approval from her several times during the night, like, you should wear more headbands. And then also at our table was Sally's hairdresser, Stephen. And, you know, you're literally sitting next to a hairdresser. That's a lot of pressure.
Yes, that is.
Yes, it is.
And he commented he enjoyed the headband. He thought it was a successful attempt at a headband. So
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you. I knew you could do it. You have the hair. Well, you have Madam Secretary hair, and it worked for her, so it could work for you. If there are pictures of the headband, you in the headband, Leanne, that would be well
like
worth
that.
Actually, unbelievably, we took no pictures. So that, you know, it's just, I don't know what happened. It just, this table was not a picture-taking table, and they were supposed to be an official picture at some point. But we missed it. We were all on the dance floor because, you know, when they start playing Billie Jean, you got to get out on the dance floor.
Yes.
So you can't sit at the table when dun, dun, when that comes on, you can't sit at the table. So and somehow, like, we don't even have one cell phone picture of ourselves. But so you just take it from me. It worked. That's all.
Okay.
That's all. Congratulations. That's
good.
Great.
In other breaking news, I'm going to see The Late Late Show with James Corden tomorrow night. I'm excited about that.
That is
really
so exciting.
I'm a little bit jealous, Leanne.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Fun. We put in for tickets. Colin, my 18-year-old, wanted to take his friend Sydney, who's turning 18 this week. She's a big fan of James Corden. So we put in for tickets, and we got tickets for tomorrow night. So the guest is Anna Kendrick and Jeff Goldblum. So those will be good guests. And we're ready to go. We've been sent our what you're supposed to wear, casual chic. Okay. No neon blouses. So, had to rethink my outfit. Really looking forward to that. So it'll be a little bit of fun tomorrow.
What time do they tape that show, Liam?
They tape at 5.
Oh, okay.
And so we have priority seating at 3:30. And then I guess it takes about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes to tape the show. So, and then I'm going to take all the kids out to dinner afterwards out there at the Grove near the CBS studios.
Well, so, you are a fun mom. You're going to give away in the fun mom contest, Liam.
I'm going to wear my headband to James.
Oh, you should, Liam.
That's what I'll do. I'll wear my headband. I'll wear my headband. Yeah. Oh, that's an excellent idea. Okay. So there you go. Set your DVRs. You may or may not see us. I don't know. We had some tips from people who have been before on how to, get the seats in the front. So we'll see.
Yeah, because the guests enter through the audience too, right? They all come in that one door.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Good luck.
Looking forward to that. And then this weekend, because we're not hot enough in Pasadena, we're actually driving to Palm Desert. A bunch of college friends. We're going to literally like the hottest place on earth for the weekend. So,
now, where is Palm Desert for Palm those Desert of us that is, don't live in California?
It's Coachella. It's just beyond, it's in the desert, just beyond Palm Springs. And it's the, according to the Weather Channel, we're going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 113 every day.
Oh.
So it was 122 yesterday. So the temperature's coming down.
Yesterday it was so hot there, Julie, that KCRW, the Santa Monica public radio station that has a studio and a control room and a repeater in Palm Springs, they had to turn off the whole station out there.
Really?
Because it was 117 in the control room. And so they could not make people stay in the control room. They actually just turned it off. It's too hot for radio. That doesn't happen very often.
Wow. So we got a lot of hot weather protocols. In place.
What would that be?
I'm in charge of food the first night because we have people flying in from Denver, from San Francisco. I feel for my friends in Denver and San Francisco because they're like, we don't even have clothes for this. So my friend Louise, who lives in Marin, she said, I went to the store. There are no sundresses. It's all like cashmere wraps in San Francisco. She's like, I literally don't even have clothes for this. So I'm bringing out the food for the first night. And in an interesting demographic, those of us who live in Southern Cal, all are empty. We'll all be empty nesters. No one has a big car anymore. No one has the big 6-seater car except us with the old 18-year-old minivan in the back.
Fire it up.
I got to detail the minivan in the driveway, fire up the minivan, doing the LAX run, driving out. We're going to stop at the outlet malls if it's not too hot. And then I'm bringing gazpacho and sangria. That's the first night menu.
Do not grill, Leanne. That's
I'm not grilling. No, I'm making my ricotta cheese. We're doing the heavy hors d'oeuvres. We got the gazpacho, got the sangria. That's the first night menu. People are bringing cards. We're bringing board games. I have magazines. My friend's house has solar power, so unlimited air conditioning. So that's good. So it'll be hot, but fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
It's like an urban sweat lodge.
Just don't leave the premises. Don't go outside.
I know. I mean, that's hot.
So yeah, that's too hot to hike, Liam. Don't do it.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, believe me.
Well, Liam's always looking for any excuse not to hike.
No, so. Not me.
Yeah, that's right. It could be 60, and that would be too hot to hike for me. So that's it. So there you go. Got a big week here. Got the James Corden, Palm Desert, making it happen. Making it happen. All right, Liz, we're about to do our Outlander recap. Do you want to stick around or is this?
I'll listen in. Maybe I can pick up some pointers. I've never seen an episode of Outlander, though, so I won't say anything.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll just listen
in. You can talk. I mean, yeah.
I might have a few questions.
Yeah.
Because normally when I hear the words time travel, I am out.
Okay. Yeah. I know. That's what I felt too, Liz. And I got sucked into this gig. So,
okay. All right.
It's
so carry
not,
on.
Well, it's not astrophysics, though. It's fictional time travel. So you don't actually have to know anything about how it works. You just have to believe it could. All right. First, I want to start with a shout out to Beckett, one of the history chicks who heard the play on last Tuesday's Outlander recap about when did men stop wearing wigs? And Beckett, of course, knew the answer. She said around 1790. It was mainly a upper class phenomenon anyway, because wigs were super expensive. And after the French Revolution, the fashion for men turned to a more of a romantic style. And she said, wavy with sideburns, a la Willoughby from Sense and Sensibility. Mm-hmm. So with your real hair. So there you go. Ladies held on to it much longer, mostly just false curls or switches or rat pads, which made a lady's own hair, enhance the lady's own hair. So, but that's it. Men around basically the French Revolution. So I was asking that question. Beckett responded. Thank you so much. This week's warning on Outlander that we got was, I think, spot on. Basically, if you're watching this week's episode, Liz, you did not want to be eating a steak. Would you?
Oh, okay. No.
Or any red meat.
Just not eating, I would say. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
The title of the episode was Vengeance is Mine.
And it seemed to be dental vengeance. I mean, there was a lot of...
Which is the worst kind.
There was a lot of operating on unpleasant things like teeth and eyeballs. And then there was a beheading at the end. So,
yeah.
Which, and it wasn't a neat and clean beheading.
No, there was squirting. Things were squirting all over. Yeah.
In a kitchen. So it was super unsanitary for me. I was having a hard time. That was dramatic. All right. So here's the thing. We open the episode. Jamie is the only one that wants to support the Bonnie Prince and the rebellion and carry on and fight. And he thinks he can prevent this tremendous loss if he does this. So he's time traveling in his mind, Liz. He's not actually time traveling, but he is trying to prevent the future. And in the meantime, you know, all the other lairds, the other clansmen there, they're not interested in it. But Julie, there was that that one scene where he was doing a prayer shirtless, which I enjoyed. Didn't you?
I have in my notes again underlined. Boy, I wish Jamie was praying over me every night. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah. So we had to suffer through a lot of political talk in accents we didn't understand, pretending we were getting the storyline where Jamie's the only one supporting the prince. But then we're rewarded with this shirtless prayer. And then Claire wakes up and looks beautiful in the middle of the night. That often happens to me where I wake up.
I mean, here she's like she's in a camp during the middle of a war. And yet she wakes up and she's got the fabulous, you know, a complexion and her hair. And yeah, that was all lovey-dovey. I wrote that down too, Lee. And I feel like, you know, we could use a few more scenes with the two of them in bed. That would be good.
Yeah. And she mentions his hands are cold as ice. And yet, Liz, he's shirtless. We don't understand why.
Put on ice. Okay, but we weren't asking any questions or clarifications on that. Yeah, he was just praying over her. But I feel, Leon, that it became clear to me that what Jamie is he's a Navy SEAL. Don't you understand? That is his role. You know, that he doesn't care if he doesn't have the other Klansmen. He is going to take this fight on. And he has his own little SEAL Team 6, doesn't he? He's got Jamie. He's got Claire. He's got Dougal and the little French kid. Yeah. That's a SEAL Team 6. And they're just going to go no matter what. They are not going to give up.
Right. That's a good point, Julie. I like it. His SEAL Team 6, though, is falling apart because Dougal rushes in and he's been exiled. Like the whole Jamie's been exiled. For some reason, they have to return to Inverness. I don't really understand that. Jamie's had a price on his head since the very first frame of this show. And he seems to be everywhere, and yet no one ever catches him. So I don't understand why the threat is so immediate, like right now, like, oh my gosh, get on your horses in the middle of the night and drive through this dark forest because you've been exiled. But off goes SEAL Team 6. And there's an ambush, Liz. The Redcoats, they're on them. That was a pretty dramatic scene, actually, when they were riding through the forest. And
I was frightened by it. That was good. Yeah. So thank goodness they're not in France. I am so happy they're back in England and in Scotland. They're back on the horses. They're galloping. There's some action. they're not sitting around in those drawing rooms. So I know you didn't feel like this was the best episode, but it was still such an improvement over being in France.
Okay. All right. So there's, and then unfortunately we lost Angus last week, one of the members of their SEAL team. And in the ambush, Rupert gets shot. Now, I had to go answer the front door because the UPS guy came. Did he get shot in the eye and then she just took his eye out? Is that what happened?
Well, there was a bullet in his eye, Leon. Yes.
What the?
Oh my God. There are just in the last 5 minutes, I've heard so many reasons why I am probably not going to try to catch up to this show.
Yeah, I mean, she's ripping teeth out. She's ripping molars out in the first scene.
I don't know why she took up dentistry. I don't know why. She has plenty of stuff to do with just the normal, like, first aid and then the witchcraft stuff that she's always cooking up. But dentistry, it was a whole new thing for Claire. Yeah, she was yanking teeth.
Teeth, and then she's tearing out eyeballs. I mean, and she's like, and then after it's out, she's like, well, we'll just get you an eye patch. Like, how hard could this be? What?
Huh? Yeah, just pour whiskey on it, Leon. That's the answer to everything.
All right. But they do in this ambush, they get trapped in a church and Claire decides to trade herself rather than let Jamie be taken and thrown back into jail. So they're going to outfox the British. She goes, "Hey, I'm an Englishman. No, Englishwoman, save me." And they take her away, and that satisfies the British guard. Like, they trade her safety because she's British for the release of the rest of the Scots. But she's going to double back and get back with Jamie and SEAL Team 6 no matter what happens. And she uses a beggar. He's a mute beggar. Is that it?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was just faking that or if that's like a thing.
Yeah. No, I think that was true. He had the crazy hair. That was his character.
I thought he was a plant. Like, I couldn't remember. Was he part of their team or not? They're all so dirty and hairy now. I don't know who's.
And it's dark. Most of this episode was at nighttime. So yeah, they're dirty, hairy, and dark. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So she manages to be dropped off back at the Duke of Sandringham's house. Now, he is a conniving, cunning fellow. They've had a lot of run-ins with him, first in England and then in France. And we learn that he is the godfather of Mary, poor, hapless Mary, who doesn't have much of a spine anyway. We met her in Paris. She's a British girl. And she was, at the end, very dramatically attacked and sexually assaulted there. And we learn the Duke lets it spill that he executed that whole thing. That was part of his plan so that he could marry her off for his own benefit, which was pretty shocking.
Yeah, he's a real conniver, a real manipulator, you know, and Claire hates him, but she's now stuck, you know, with him versus the British. So she's got to kind of play it out. And she played it pretty smart. You have to give that for Claire. I mean, I know she probably wanted to stab him in the eyeball, but she didn't. And she was really cool and calm, and she just kept drinking with him. Claire drinks a lot.
She does drink a lot. Yes. Yeah. Okay. She drinks a lot. Well, it's cold there. I mean, you can see it's very cold and damp.
Yeah.
And she doesn't sleep, so she has plenty of time to drink. She's because no one in this show sleeps. So when she finds out about the rape, though, she's really, really mad. And they happen to be drinking in the kitchen and having dinner, and she spies that knife in that ham bone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, she's going to do a little surgery on the Duke of Sandringham, isn't she, Jules?
Yes. Yes, she is, Leon.
Is Claire also an assassin besides being a nurse and a dentist? Okay. All right.
But she could be, Liz. This guy may turn her into one, but that's just when Jamie and Murtaugh break through and save
Navy
her.
Navy SEAL. It was a real Navy SEAL move that he just came through the door like that and boom, boom, boom. You know, and he took, you know, that was good, Leon. I liked it.
It was good. And then, and Murtaugh fortunately has with him an axe. And I guess to get through the door. But then once he finds out that this is the guy that set up poor Mary for the attack where Murtaugh saw and vowed vengeance, he cuts his head off, Liz.
Yeah, just like, it's a little shocking right at the end.
Yeah.
Like, Whoa, he just chopped his head off.
He with an axe in the kitchen, Liz. I mean, it was
in the kitchen of all places.
It's squirting blood, Liz. Did we say that? Yeah.
That sounds very unsanitary.
First he just chops him, and then he goes over and he just hacks his head off and hands it to Mary. Like, that's what every teen girl wants. A head. Vengeance is mine, Liz. Vengeance is mine.
Sounds like it.
Now, I had a thought after that, like, why don't they just go take a shower and get a good night's sleep here at this nice house? But no, they got back on those horses and they left.
SEAL Team 6, they're heading out, Leanne. They got places to go. They can't stay there. Yeah.
All right, so we have two more episodes, Julie. I know, getting a little feedback.
I think we've got to go to the distance, Liz. I think you got to jump in, and we encourage listeners that have not watched the show, just jump right in now and jump in with Liz. You two, just watch these two final episodes, and we'll work it out, Liz, okay?
Okay, and you'll have to just tell me about everything that happened in all the previous seasons.
No, we just pick it up from where it is. It's time travel, Liz. That's the whole point.
I can do it.
Just time travel to this point in the episode. Yeah.
Don't overthink it, Liz. Don't overthink it. That could also be your model for the summer. Don't overthink it.
That's a good one. I like that.
All right, we're getting a little feedback here. So I think that's a good sign to wrap up the show.
Yes, I can hear there's a little echo.
All right, so what else is happening? Not it. Anything going on with anyone?
I just wanted to mention one thing that I posted on Facebook today, which is that our friend Ian Punnett has a new book that's coming out this fall. It's called A Black Night for the Bluegrass Bell, and it's true crime. So it's a nonfiction murder story, but you can start ordering it today. And you know how much we love Ian. Ian and Marjorie were on FM 107 for years, and they're great friends of the Satellite Sisters. So if you feel like pre-ordering that book for the fall, you can do that now from the link on our Facebook page.
Okay, Liz, that's good. Oh, I didn't realize that was coming out in the fall. I thought it was coming out this summer. It's coming out in the fall, but you can pre-order today. Excellent.
Yes.
Julie, are you still there? Or did I cut you off?
Yes. No, okay. I'm still here.
I was moving things around and I thought I might have cut you off. All right. You have any plans, Julie? You busy this week?
Well, I have a big assignment coming up. I mean, I've been doing my Nana duty here in Dallas, but Urban Nana is returning to Brooklyn next week. I have a short stay assignment, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, excellent. All right, everybody, have a great week. Stay cool wherever you are. Stay safe. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.